All right. Welcome. Welcome to the 8th episode of the Educated Guest Podcast. I am your host, Zaref, a.k.a. Caesar Does It on Twitter. Got to throw out the disclaimer at this time. None of my opinions have anything to do with my employer or the association that I work for. Same goes for my guest. They speak on their own behalf, and that's it. So we're going to dump the format today. We're not going to talk about education because the election is right around the corner. Okay, by the time you hear this, it'll be at least Wednesday. You got 5 days to get your vote in. And this episode is strictly dedicated to where have all the Bernie Sanders supporters gone, right? Who have they found in his absence? So I interviewed three friends, one in LA, one in Berkeley, and one right here at home in Chula Vista, San Diego, California. I interview a Bernie turned Hillary Clinton supporter, a Bernie turned Jill Stein supporter, and as tough as it may be to fathom, a Bernie turned Trump supporter. And it's not that I'm undecided, but again, we want to answer the simple question, where have all the Bernie Sanders supporters gone? So our first interview, he goes by the name of Justino. He's right here local in Chula Vista. And we're just going to jump right into this. Get ready, folks. All right. Well, welcome back to the Educated Guest Podcast. We're here covering the election. We're talking about where did all the Bernie supporters go? As I mentioned before, I was a big, strong Bernie supporter. He was talking about pretty much everything I was talking about. He was bringing up college student debt, which I believe is the next bubble. He was talking about how the system is rigged for the millionaires. I mean, he really touched a chord with me. So I'm trying to reach out to people that were Bernie supporters that I know voted for Bernie in the primary, but now have had to move on. And I'm sitting here with a friend of mine, a community activist. He goes by the name of Justino. Glad to have you here.
Hey, brother. How are you, brother Caesar?
I'm doing good, and I'm really glad to have you here for the first time, and I know we'll have you back again. So I want to ask, what first made you support Bernie?
Well, again, let me thank you for inviting me here to your podcast. It's a nice little platform to get a couple opinions and do the dialogue thing.
Cool, man.
So got that out of the way. And Bernie, he spoke to me. He had a lot of great points that I would scream out about too. You know, a lot of great platforms that I supported. You know, being the conservative that I am, there was two that totally threw me off. One being the support for LGBT community, and the other one was the support for women's rights and abortions. But once I got past that, Caesar, his platform was one I totally related with and I believed in. And as you know, I did feel the burn there in the primary and tried to make sure that Mr. Sanders was on the ticket. So definitely I was on the Bernie team and was very deceived and let down by the results of the DNC.
I know you to be a conservative man, but I also know you, like most conservatives, to be a man of the faith. But what specifically was it about Bernie? What were the issues that specifically spoke to you?
Putting the system out there, putting the system that it is fixed and rigged, and that also seeing Bernie's history as a public leader, as a public servant, he hasn't flip-flopped. So I believe in somebody like that. I believe that he's true to his values, and I really believed in him, along with half of America.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, so I reached out to you because I've been seeing what you have posted on social media, and I kind of felt like you might have been leaning a little bit towards the Trump train. On this episode, I'm speaking with a Bernie-turned-Hillary supporter and a Bernie-turned-Stein supporter, so I'm hoping you're not going to let us down. Have you jumped on the Trump train?
Definitely, brother. Yeah, it's you know, we're less than 2 weeks away. And yeah, you're right in your perception. I am on the Trump train. And being a, you know, Martinez Hispanic, it was hard to combat what the good old media has put out there. You know, a lot of my relatives thought I'm nuts. But once you get past the hype, I really believe that Trump is going to change a few things. And we need somebody as vocal and nutty as he is to bring light to some issues that we have in government, especially in that position. I do have faith that Mr. Trump will be strong in his vindictions and get stuff done, do it differently. He's coming in as an outsider. Caesar, you know that Mr. Trump is not my favorite, is not a guy who I 100% love, but at this point, the alternative scares the bejesus out of me. It scares me. So Mr. Trump, again, I believe that won't seek re-election. Therefore, I'm hoping he just takes the ride for 4 years and clears the way for someone else to change the direction our federal government has been going for the last few elections. Whether it be right or left, we have to balance out. And right now, we've been leaning towards one way a little too heavy.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, it's really the change to the federal government that made you love Bernie. And it kind of helped bridge you towards Trump, because like your family members, I know there'll be a lot of listeners of the Educated Guest podcast, myself included, that have a hard time seeing how somebody who believed in Bernie's ideals could go over to Trump. I mean, it's just, I'm just being real with you. I'm not trying to start an argument with you. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to convince you. No, nobody at this age is going to convince anybody else to go vote.
No, we're good
for somebody different. Right. Right.
Yeah. We're
so
good.
Was it that you feel like Bernie was set out to change some things at the federal government level, and now you feel like,
because of Bernie's history on the floor, I really believe that Bernie was going to be able to get people to listen to him and get stuff done. You know, our democracy doesn't work single-handedly one person, but Bernie has a history of being true to his values, so he has a core group of people that can help him do stuff. Therefore, again, I believe and what was going on, Caesar, was I was starting to smell what was forming in the GOP, and I knew that was going to turn out bad. You know, putting all people into the mix, if today my ultimate guy is Mr. Kasich, I wish he stayed in. He would have been my ultimate vote. But I knew the GOP was going to sell out to this payaso. And I started to kind of see who he was grabbing and bringing into his circle. Mm-hmm. And just about everyone that's in that circle, I relate, or I trust, and I relate, and I want to give him a chance. I believe here, Caesar, that if Miss Clinton were to get in, she's going to start firing a whole bunch of people, and she's going to bring in a whole bunch of favors paid, and that's going to disrupt our government. I believe Mr. Trump really is going to sit down and play with the remote control and the garage door opener for 4 years and hopefully be tired of it and leave our government to other people. But if we allow, I believe that if we allow Ms. Clinton to get in, she's not going to let go of that power.
Is there anything about his temperament as a person that concerns you in the highest office in the land?
Most definitely. Definitely. It is scary to have somebody so egotistical.
Just to use your metaphor, position. He's going to play with the garage door opener, and you're not afraid he's going to crash the car into the garage?
I'm willing to watch that go down, I guess, versus the machine enacting and getting those wheels going and us not being able to do anything about it. She again will flip-flop to get what she needs. And again, we've seen what the DNC is capable of and how they basically don't care about their own people, and the higher-ups are going to do what they are going to do.
As I said, brother, we ain't trying to argue. I ain't trying to convince you of nothing. Are you concerned? Are you concerned about his character when it comes to women? Are you concerned about the fact that a lot of his fervent supporters may be racist organizations that he hasn't completely denounced? I mean, does any of that concern you about his character?
It's scary, Caesar, but bringing up specifically the KKK and those nuts. The thing about Trump, he is bringing to light a lot of things that, if it were Hillary, we're going to cover it. We're not going to talk about these obvious racisms that's still around.
Mm-hmm.
So again, Trump's platform seems to bring out a lot of things that need to be corrected in our society. He's not my favorite. It's hard to defend a clown like that. But if unfortunately our country has left, you know, it's to pick the best of the worst. And he's the guy for me right now. He's the guy.
And have you looked into the other candidates at all? I mean, have you just even a little bit? Stein, Johnson.
I did. I looked into for a while. I kept my ears out for Mr. Johnson. And that's about the time that the whole Aleppo thing came through. And he just looked stoned to me and just a little bit not ready. And then I look at Ms. Stein and look at the numbers behind them. And I don't want to give Hillary any more power by splitting the vote.
Okay, because you know what? Hillary supporters would say the opposite. They'd say by going to Stein, you're actually giving Trump the power. At any rate, let's play a little game. Let's play a little game here. I'm gonna bring up some topics, and you can tell me you support, you don't support, you throw it out, you support it with limitations. Give me a short answer here. Minimum wage.
Minimum wage, what?
Raising it.
Federally? Like, raising it?
Yes.
Huh. Well, I'm not running for office. I really didn't. You know what I mean?
I understand, but we're playing a game because the candidates have spoken on how they feel about things. I just want to see if Donald Trump is your true political love match. We're going to play a little bit of, you know, political singles game here. So minimum wage, keep it the same, raise it, eliminate it.
Wow, those are good choices. all right, again, as you see, this is from the top of my head. I am one who does not support a raise to minimum wage.
Okay. How about TPP?
No.
Okay.
Do not support the abuse of power. No.
Okay. How about, I know where you're going to go on this one, Obamacare. Repeal, continue.
Repeal and give me my money back.
How about free college?
I'd support that.
Okay. How about legalizing marijuana?
No, I don't support it. Okay. Not recreational. Again, the medical, I do support 1,000%. But recreational, no, I don't support.
Okay. Maybe you don't have too much of an opinion on this. Fracking?
No, I don't support it. Again, it's another thing that's going to kill our good old earth.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. Kind of like the free college. Student debt, which I feel is like the next bubble that could burst. How do you feel about student debt?
I think a word that comes up is reform. There needs to be some sort of reform there. Everyone fears that, you know, and I'm lucky enough to say that I'm in film, but didn't have to go to school, film school, and pay the $80,000 a lot of my colleagues are in debt for. So definitely that needs to be reformed. A lot of our youth and a lot of our students come with a heavy debt coming out of college that is stressful for them, and the job markets are not as good as they thought it was going to be. So definitely we need to look into that and start forgiving interest on those, even more so, I think, for longer periods of time.
Yeah. I know quite a few people in my line of business that owe anywhere from 80 to 100,000, and I think that's a whole lot to become a teacher. Anyways, let's keep going with the game here. Path to citizenship. Oppose or are you for it?
No, I'm for it.
I'm for it. Okay. Are you at all familiar with the Citizens United case? Not the case, but Citizens United?
Yeah. That nasty. Yeah, I am. Okay. I would definitely want to take that out. You know, corporations are not people.
Okay.
People are people. Corporations are corporations.
No, I kind of had a feeling with what you would say on that, yeah, just because I know how
so
you.
So I'm not, as many people think, I'm a Republican. No, I'm not. You know, Republicans would think to you that, they would go opposite, I think, from me. And I'm, Caesar, I'm in the middle. No, I'm not Republican. I'm not Democrat. I'm just what's best for me and my family.
Hey, I'm just trying to see who's your real political love match
right,
here.
All right.
Background checks on guns.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do that?
Yeah.
Okay. I already know where you stand on abortion, so I'll go ahead and I'll mark you off over here. How about, do you have an opinion on private prisons? The whole, do you have an opinion
you
on that?
CCA?
Yeah.
Definitely got to kill that, man. We have to stop privatizing and putting incentives to lock up people. CCA is one of the biggest lobbyists out there and has so much power. That is, it's scary, and it's just.
Now wait, is CCA, is that for private prisons or is that just state and federal prisons?
CCA is I think the company that runs them.
Okay. Okay. CCA I didn't realize that they were so
it's
powerful.
Private, it's a private company, and
okay. I appreciate you putting me up on that. Death penalty. Got an opinion on that?
Yeah, I do. Again, a man of faith. Let God take care of them. I'm against killing.
All right. That's an interesting answer. I kind of didn't expect that one. You're throwing me off a little bit there, man. Kind of in the whole climate change stuff, do you think that we should have a binding climate treaty with other countries?
It's time, Caesar. We're seeing China. We're seeing a whole bunch of, up north, 160 miles up. Definitely we need to look into that and save our planet.
Wow.
You know, we've got to stop being so selfish and start thinking about the future.
Bro, you're taking me way left on this one. You're throwing me off with your answers. These are good. Last but not least, how do you feel about unconditional military aid to Israel? Support or oppose?
I support it. Again, a man of faith. We have to be behind Israel. God said so.
Okay. All right, brother. Give me 1 second here. I'll probably edit out the air, but let me tally this up for you.
Boom, 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 boom.
All right.
And we're back.
All right. We're back. We're back here on the Educated Guest podcast. Hold on here. Give me a little pause. All right, we're back here on the Educated Guest podcast, and we're just playing a little bit of political love match here with Tino and four of the candidates. We got Trump, Clinton, Stein, Johnson. I asked him a series of several questions, and we did a tally. And you know what? It's honestly close. You're no fan of Johnson, okay? You only had two in his area. You had nine. Let me make sure I'm counting that right. You had nine in Stein, and you had nine in Clinton, and you had seven with Donald J. Trump. So it was still close. It was still close, and I have a feeling from our conversation that maybe you're leaning more towards Trump just because, also not the only reason, but because you just really don't like what Hillary represents, and you don't want her in office.
I'm afraid of her.
You know, if you know one thing about me on social media, and I know you've seen me around, I don't really put up a whole lot of memes. That's not how I do business. I put my opinion up there. I don't put the little pictures, okay? But if there's one meme that I really, really like, the best one out of all the political memes, it says this. It says, Donald Trump is everything that is wrong with our culture, and Hillary Clinton is everything that is wrong with our government. Agree or disagree?
Hillary's a big part.
You didn't read it.
There's a whole bunch more. It's a fair statement. It is. Again, I'm not going to lie about Donald's credibility or his abilities.
He's not an evangelical man. He's not a man of faith.
No, I know. He's a businessman. He's shown it, and businessmen are cutthroat, you know, and that's just the way corporations operate. And he's shown to be one mean businessman, but being mean as a businessman equals success.
All right, Justino, I really appreciate your time tonight. This is not the last time you will be on the Educated Guest podcast. This is episode 8. Where have all the Bernie supporters gone? Bernie, we miss you.
Oh, yeah.
Do you feel that, real quick before we get up out of here, do you feel that the machine works strongly against Bernie?
It's disgusting the way they basically, not only Bernie, but us, America, we the people, totally went against we the people. And has left a very bad taste in a lot of new millennials that just got activated into politics. And we'll see what this DNC does to recover. But GOP too, but the DNC really messed things up with Bernie, because social media, you know, Periscope, all those things don't lie. You know, your ABC, CBS, CNNs, all of those do lie. And it showed that support for Bernie was nuts. And all of a sudden... So, yeah, there's a lot of work to gain the respect and trust of us and the millennials that are soon. 2020 is going to be really, really exciting to see.
All right, there you have it. Justino, Chula Vista, California, loved himself to burn, jumped over to Trump. If you're anything like me, you couldn't even fathom that somebody could even make that jump. Okay, but hopefully after hearing his thoughts, maybe it makes a little bit more sense to you. I don't know. So up next, while I'm sitting here staring at this mail-in ballot, it's about 1:40 early Wednesday morning, and I'm going to interview my buddy via Skype. He's in L.A., a good friend of mine. I just want to let you know there's a little bit of cussing in the beginning. We talk a little bit of shit to each other, so if that's not your thing, fast forward about 15 minutes or just go to the bathroom and take a soft one and chill out. Either way it goes, episode 8, Educated Guest Podcast, where have all the burn supporters gone?
All right, man.
Oh, you are. All right. What? All right. You're recording already?
Yeah. You know what? I like to roll in hot. That's what they call it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we on, man.
You are.
All right. Welcome. Welcome back to episode 8 of the Educated Guest Podcast. The title of this episode is Where Did All the Bernie People Go?
Where did all the Bernie bros go?
Not just the bros, but where did all the Bernie supporters go?
Okay.
And I'm here with Filiberto Gonzalez, a good friend of mine, always been into politics. I call him the indigenous Anderson Cooper, a.k.a. Flipper Anderson, a.k.a. the unofficial producer of the Educated Guest Podcast. Yep. How you doing tonight, bro?
Doing all right. It's beginning to feel like fall in the San Fernando Valley,
mm-hmm.
and I love the fall, so I'm loving the weather right now.
bro, before you put my listeners to sleep. So let's talk about this, bro. It took a while to woo you over to Bernie. Uh-huh. Like, you were humming and hawing before the primaries. But eventually, you told me, hey, I'm feeling the burn.
Hey, I'll tell you the truth. The hype around Bernie Sanders was a bit repelling because I had seen that 8 years prior with candidate Obama. I got swept up on that. And then I realized, you know, it's better. It's not as if I ever regretted supporting President Obama. I just thought, I'm a bit older. There's a lot more consequences now that I'm a father of three little girls. Let me go into this a bit more, you know, sober minded, and not get swept up into hype. And to be honest, I thought the whole Feel the Burn movement was a lot of hype. But I followed him from the very, very beginning. And I would say that Senator Sanders won me over the old fashioned way by simply being about substance, about being about the issues, and being a real dude. He, by the, you know, come the California primary, to me, it was very clear. It was very clear who I would support. And much to my surprise, when I discussed it with my wife, because we like to, and thus far, after 11 years of marriage, we've never split our votes. We've never not voted for the same person. Because we want to have more. We want the Gonzalez vote to count for more than just, you know, one person. We don't want our votes to cancel each other out.
That's cute.
So she, to my surprise, said she was also feeling the burn and would vote for Bernie Sanders. So I would say that he won over both of us. Uh-huh. Right? I thought for sure she would vote for Hillary Clinton.
All right, and I'll agree with you on one thing. The whole movement, all the people that were on the Bernie Dank meme stash, it all got kind of annoying, right? It was kind of off-putting just how rude they were to the other candidates, right? Like, we got this shit right. You guys are terrible people. Right, I mean, it was a lot. So that's what.
I want to be very remiss if I didn't mention that I actually was a very early supporter of Martin O'Malley. Mm. Many people forget was actually one of the other candidates, and ultimately he was supposed to be Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. But then Bernie Sanders was Bernie Sanders, and left no oxygen in the room for Martin O'Malley, and he essentially flamed out right after Iowa. And at that point I said, well, what do I do? Do I go with the establishment candidate, or do I just sit it out and wait to see what happens? So I never really was on board at all with Hillary Clinton during the primary. And by the time we, from late January through June for the California primary, mm-hmm. It was a slow but sure move toward Bernie Sanders.
So, what was it specifically, if anything, that spoke to you about Bernie? What were there certain issues?
You know, there was style and there was substance. On the substance, essentially, he not only was able, not unlike President Obama, he was able to put lightning in a bottle, mm-hmm. by actually tapping issues that really resonated with a lot of people. Now, mind you, even though the 2008 economic meltdown, you would think, well, wasn't candidate Obama talking about that and candidate McCain talking about that? No, not really, because that really happened right in the last 2 to 3 weeks before the presidential election. Mm-hmm. So by the time we had the presidential election in 2008, We already had the worst week in Wall Street history since the Great Depression, which actually ended on October 10, 2008. Mm-hmm. And I remember that week very distinctly. And just weeks later, we then had a presidential election. We had a candidate, McCain, who seemed to be in over his head when in talking about the economy. And Obama seemed like he was a lot more sure of himself talking about the economic meltdown that was happening right then. And that's what he inherited. So fast forward 7 years later, we had what? We had not only a meltdown on Wall Street, we had a housing, we had still the remnants of the housing crisis, right? We had record-setting unemployment rates. We had all this bad news that happened in the domestic front, and people. This was the first time the general public really had a chance to address that during a presidential election.
Okay.
So, did they want to go with the person who never really established a message mm-hmm. in Hillary Clinton, and surely someone that seemed soiled by Wall Street?
She took a lot of money, bro.
And being an insider, you know, no. Again, Bernie Sanders was able to capture lightning in a bottle by tapping issues that resonated with millions upon millions of people who felt disenfranchised. Mm-hmm. And not only did he do that, he did it without hype and bluster. And gotcha. That was the thing that really won my respect. He, when you listen to his stump speech, there was no hyperbole. It was a plain spoken and yet very substantive stump speech and political rhetoric all the way through. So that's just something that really won my respect. Now, as it comes to style, I have to say something. He, in many ways, was also revolutionary. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. He was the first non-Stepford candidate to actually make it this far.
Explain that.
I'm a bit embarrassed to say, at first blush, I didn't think he would go far because he didn't have the concrete hair, the nice necktie, the $3,000 suit.
All right, so there was definitely something that resonated with you. This the way that the man looked, he didn't look like your typical Manchurian candidate. His shit was right. All disheveled. His suit was probably not super expensive. Something about the man, the delivery, the style.
Yes, at the end of the day, that all proved to be immaterial. And the substance is what resonated with me mm-hmm. and what won me over. And as I said, I hope heretofore, anyone else who really is as substantive and has a strong platform can run. And whether they have a family or not, whether they have the good hair or not, they can just run and be taken seriously no matter what.
So when he bowed out, mm-hmm. It was really a quick transition for you. Why was that?
You mean from there to Hillary?
Yeah, yeah. And it was really easy because you've been a registered Democrat for a while now, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was really easy.
Well, to me, it was just clear just based on the math mm-hmm. that unless she was indicted, which if you recall back in the late summer, that seemed like a real possibility. Mm-hmm. There was really no shot for him.
Okay.
Going into July is when Hillary Clinton met with the FBI mm-hmm. and then the FBI director had a press conference. He could have in that press conference announced, we are bringing charges on Hillary Clinton based on XYZ. Uh-huh. We think we have the evidence to indict. And at that point, Bernie Sanders would have had an in because he didn't have an in just based on the numbers. Mm-hmm. And then all, but you know, so at that point, what I was looking for was to see how he would actually influence the DNC platform.
Okay.
And it seems as if he really did.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't somehow under an impression that, you know, something would happen where he could actually win it at the convention.
Okay.
Because that just wasn't realistic.
Okay. Okay. So you didn't get a chance to hear the interview I did with the Bernie turned Trump supporter, but uh-huh. I asked him how he felt about his candidate. And I mean, he's not really sure about it. I mean, he said that he's not my favorite guy, but I have a feeling that he dislikes Hillary just that much. And that's pushed him over there.
Yeah.
How do you feel about your current candidate?
Okay. Bottom line is, you know, Hillary Clinton, I didn't support her 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't necessarily support her in the primary this time around. She clearly has a lot of flaws as a candidate, and I think also in her decision making, which have been revealed with these WikiLeaks dumps.
Yeah.
The inner discussion by her inner team is fascinating, because they actually try to humanize her. You would think that wouldn't be that difficult for someone who just turned 69 today. But apparently they put a lot of time and effort into just making her seem normal. And then, David Axelrod, the chief strategist of President Obama.
Uh-huh.
If you recall, my heart sank, and I'll get into this in a second, but my heart sank when I saw Hillary Clinton have like a fainting spell at the 9/11 ceremony.
Okay.
Not because I thought her death was imminent, but because I knew what the Trump supporters would do with that. And sure enough, of course, they made a whole lot of hay out of that and played on that. David Axelrod said, it's not the health, it's the stealth.
Mm.
That's the problem. It's not the fact that you had the flu. It's the fact that you are so secretive. You and your team are so secretive that you couldn't even talk about it. And thereby, you left yourself exposed to be played like a fiddle by the Trump people. Right. So I am supporting her wholeheartedly. I think I told you I'm going to Nevada this Saturday to campaign. And I'm doing that not necessarily because of her, but because of her opponent,
okay.
And who and what he represents and who he is and what he has been able to create. He ultimately, on day one, within 10 minutes or 15 minutes of his speech, essentially said, the bane of our existence are Mexicans.
Day one, he came hard.
Right out of the bat. And as it turns out, what's been shared since then is that, what's her name? God damn it. I hate her just as much. She wrote a book called Adios America or something like that. She's like a conservative pundit.
Holter.
Right. So it was kind of shown that he cribbed basically his entire speech off of her book and her, white supremacist anti-Mexican, a book.
Right.
And so I say, God damn you, Trump. And I mean that wholeheartedly. God damn you, Trump. And for everything that you stand for, everything that you've done, all the people that you have awakened to join you, all the white supremacists, you're a phony. You're an empty suit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what I would say to Trump people essentially is, what more does this man have to show you to show you that there's no there?
Mm-hmm.
And even if you are upset and you have legitimate gripes because of X, Y, Z, what in the hell makes you think he can actually deliver on anything he has said ever? So that should be clear to anybody. So I think anybody who's still with them really is simply just showing themselves to be fools.
More so like, do you really think this guy's going to give you anything? I mean,
well, he's shown himself in every which way to either not know what he's talking about or not believe what he's talking about.
Right.
So what more do you have to see or hear? But because of the way he started his campaign and since then has added Muslims, women, who else? Who has he not offended and scapegoated? Then ultimately, I want to go to Nevada. I want to do everything I can to not only make sure that he loses, but that he loses badly and is embarrassed and never shows his ugly orange head again.
We ain't going to hear from him after this is all said and done, but I wanted him to take his supporters with him, and I don't think that's going to happen, right?
Well, no, they're not going anywhere. I really wish someone would actually go through the trouble of creating some sort of app or something that can capture all and anyone and everyone who said anything favorable, like really favorable, especially something racist, and just holding on to that for posterity so that anytime these people at any point ever pop up in the future, we're going to say, oh, look what you wrote about Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Back in 2016.
People at the rallies.
And then they're going to say, oh, that was a youthful indiscretion. Yeah, but you were 35 years old, man. Don't tell me about youthful indiscretion.
Nah, I like that, man. All right, Flipper. I got to go. The audio's killing me. Thanks for your time. Thanks for being on episode 8 of the Educated Guest podcast. Where have all the Bernie supporters gone? Peace out, man. My brother. You will be on another episode soon. Much love.
Take care.
All right, everybody. I appreciate you putting up with the audio issues. Skype can get kind of loud and kind of crazy at times. Appreciate you having some fun during that interview with us. That's my boy, Filiberto Gonzalez, via LA. I call him the indigenous Anderson Cooper because he looks just like him. Go check him out at GoFiliberto on the Twitters. He is the unofficial producer of the Educated Guest podcast. Up next on episode 8, we got my man Jason out in Berkeley trying to help me answer, where have all the Bernie supporters gone? Well, this one's gone to Jill Stein, and he's hard in the paint. His positions are strong, they're clear, and I can't wait for you to hear what he's got to say. Here comes the interview. Yo, we're back on the Educated Guest podcast. This is episode 8. Where have the Sanders supporters gone? We miss you, Senator Sanders. All right, we're about to take this phone call from Jason O'Neill. He's via Skype out in Alameda at UC Berkeley. And he was a go hard in the paint Sanders supporter from day one. I just want to pick his brains and see who he switched to and why. He's a really well-informed guy. If you've seen him active on social media, he's just out there killing it. So I wanted to get his take on this. Yo, can you hear me? Okay, cool. Yo, are you there?
Yeah, are you there? I got you right there.
So let's jump into this, man. Welcome to the 8th episode of the Educated Guest podcast. I got my man Jason live from, where you at, Jason?
I'm in Berkeley, California, my friend.
And when you're not just being well-informed and being a great family man, what is it that you're doing out there?
Oh, I'm studying, brother. I'm in my senior year here at Berkeley studying society and the environment history. So I've got 7 months to go. And then when I'm not in school, I'm actually living out on the Delta, Sacramento River, San Joaquin River Delta in Oakley, California.
Wow, man. Wow. And Jason and I, for the listeners that don't know, just a little context, we met on a local school board candidate's campaign in 2014. And I just know him just be a really, like I said, well-informed guy. And as we got closer to the presidential primaries, I noticed that you were going really hard for Senator Sanders. Am I right?
Yes, I was going really hard for him when he announced back in 2015 and actually voted for him in the primaries last summer.
So The title of this episode, episode 8 of the Educated Guest Podcast, is Where Have All the Bernie Supporters Gone? I've interviewed a supporter that went over to Hillary Clinton. I've interviewed a supporter that went over to Donald Trump. And I'm going over to you now because I've seen you going to Jill Stein a lot lately, and I wanted to ask you about that. But before I do, I want to ask you, what was it specifically about Bernie Sanders that spoke to you as a candidate?
Well, I think it's his the rhetoric that he had giving the – how would I say this? He's always stayed on the same message. You know, if you look at a lot of his older videos, he's always looking at what's in it for the working class. How we actually put jobs out there. How do we take care of people? How do we restructure our social welfare programs? And that's something that I believe that he's always fought for. So, you know, he was saying all the right things to get me to vote for him, and that's why I re-registered as a Democrat.
Okay. I actually re-registered in 2012 under Obama, and it was the things that he was saying to me on his first campaign that really made me say, hey, maybe I need to take a listen to the Democrats. But I typically didn't belong to a party as an educated adult. Anyways, I wanted to ask you, do you normally get involved in presidential elections, or was it something about Sanders?
Actually, Obama inspired me to get involved as well. I'm not sure if you know this, Caesar. At one time, I was really a Republican. I grew up in a very conservative small town in South Texas, centered around agriculture and petroleum, southern end of the Bible Belt. Yeah, so it was really a very closed society down there. The biggest tensions, you know, it was white and Mexican Americans that lived in this town, and it was separated by a railroad track. It's actually the town I grew up in, Caesar, is a town that was famous for the Longoria affair. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. He was a World War II veteran, World War II soldier that was killed, and the town refused to give him a burial there because he was Mexican. LBJ pulled some strings as a senator, got him buried in Arlington National. So as you can imagine, the society that I lived in there and then coming to California, I've made this migration to the left. And in 2008, I was actually a precinct captain for President Obama. I was making phone calls in the area. I was filling out questionnaires for who was going to vote for Senator or Clinton, who was going to vote for Obama, who was undecided. And then in 2012, I did the same thing, but I got involved in local issues. I also got involved in Juan Vargas' campaign. And after that 2012, it kind of opened my eyes to the fact that, you know, hey, maybe Democrats aren't really supporting the best interests of working class people either, because everyone seems to be migrating to the right, taking corporate money, taking special interest money. And that's what kind of, I guess, drew me to Bernie Sanders. And that's why I'm supporting Jill Stein now.
Okay, so let's get into that. It didn't really take you long to jump over to Stein, at least from what I saw on social media. What drew you over to her?
Well, in 2012, I registered as Green Party. She ran in 2012. I did not vote for her. I voted the lesser of the two evils for President Obama against Romney. You know, I supported the Affordable Care Act. But in reality, let's look at it. The stats are the Affordable Care Act is just a subsidization of poor people with tax dollars to shift them to a commercial market to buy insurance from large corporate firms. That's all the Affordable Care Act is. That's not socialized medicine. It's not the single payer health care. The state of California itself, the Democratic platform, has an issue that says that they are for single payer health care. However, the last time that went up to the Sacramento, twice it passed the legislature and it was vetoed by Schwarzenegger. The last time that it went up, Governor Brown called the senators in the Senate and said, kill this on the floor. So you had about, I believe the vote lost 15 to 11. I'm not quite sure on the numbers, but I do know that a lot of Democrats abstained from casting a vote, and several of them voted against single-payer health care, and all of them were receiving campaign contributions from insurance companies. And might I add, Juan Vargas was one of them, and he actually worked for insurance companies between the Assembly and the State Senate, and now he's a congressman. So it's this morphing of candidates and them chasing money and being beholden to the special interests that actually prevent them from voting for legislation that's not only a part of their party platform, but it's what a majority of Americans want. So that's why I'm going Green Party all the way now. I voted the lesser of two evils before. Nothing has changed. So it's time to forget these two corporate dominated parties and let's just start building a new party for working people.
Wow. So, I mean, just so I clear this up here, it's not a protest vote in any way, and you're done with the lesser of two evils thinking.
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
And if you think about, and it's not really a protest vote, but let's be honest. I live in California. The last polls I was looking at, the last several polls I've been looking at, Hillary Clinton's between 23 and 27% going to take California. California is a safe blue state. If I was living in another part of the country, who knows how I would vote? I might second guess myself. I'm not sure. But I know living in the state of California right now and the state of affairs of the nation and what's going on all across America and what's going on around the world, we've got to do something. Unregulated free market capitalism, Trans-Pacific Partnership, global war, this stuff is not sustainable, my man. And the Green Party is the only party that is addressing the fundamental causes of climate change.
And did you look into the other candidates on any of this stuff either, like Johnson or maybe the Socialist Party who's pushing Gloria LaRiva? Did you even go there at all, or strictly Green Party Jill Stein for you?
I went Green. Mm-hmm. Well, not from the get-go. I did go Green. I've looked at the Libertarian platform. I mean, a lot of their issues I do agree with them on. There is more in common between Green Party and Libertarians than there are with Green Party and Democrats now. When you look at foreign policy issues, when you look at a lot of social justice issues. However, the one thing I do not like about libertarians is that they are free market capitalists. They believe that if someone's willing to work for a dollar and someone's willing to pay them a dollar, then the government shouldn't step in and mandate any kind of minimum or living wages, as well as they don't believe in any kind of government oversight. And when you're looking at decades going on over a century now of this unsustainable growth and drain on natural resources, we do need to do something about regulating not only resources, but regulating the economy, because again, it's not sustainable. We're going to destroy civilization as we know it.
Let me ask you, what are your biggest concerns with Hillary Clinton as a candidate? And I know you could go on for a long time, but just give me your biggest concerns about her as a candidate.
Biggest concerns is I believe that she is too close to Wall Street banks. She's too close to large corporations. She's too close to the military industrial complex. It's funny. My girlfriend and I talk about this all the time. My girlfriend, she's her mother's Mexican. Her dad's from a German family. You know, they're all working class people. And she says, you know, why am I going to vote for Hillary Clinton just because I'm a woman? You know, I'm a feminist, but Hillary Clinton has no idea what troubles I go through on a daily basis as a working class woman. She has no idea about what, you know, single moms have to deal with, what working families have to deal with. So I think she has lost touch with the voter base. And like I said, we can go on and on about the things that I don't like about her, but it's just, and I won't even say there's a sense of entitlement, but it's almost like it's an insult to our intelligence to think that we have to vote for someone just because we don't want Donald Trump to be president. Whenever I look at Hillary Clinton, I think both of these candidates are dangerous for our country, and both of these candidates are going to put us into armed conflict with Russia.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any concerns with Jill Stein as a candidate? Because I'll be honest with you, man, I've been reading a lot of what she puts out. I've been following her on social media. She's kind of been playing footsies with the anti-vax crowd. She threw some stuff up on social media about Harambe, and I was just like, well, is she really somebody I should be taking serious? Do you have any concerns about Stein as a candidate?
I have a couple of concerns, actually. So I'm glad you asked me that, because a lot of times people say, well, you're Green Party and you're just you're not listening to reason and you're just brainwashed into believing this. No, I have a lot of concerns about Jill Stein. The anti-vaxxer issue, I'm not really concerned with as much, because she is a medical doctor, 25 years, Harvard graduate. I think she tried to clarify that point as far as saying, you know, that there is a little too much freedom within the market to get these drugs out on the market without doing all of the testing. I think that was what she was aiming for. But however, we do have a lot of anti-vaxxer rhetoric. It's popular all over Hollywood. People are on social media. But I think she's trying to be everything to everybody. Okay. And you can't do that. And I think she's not pushing personally, I don't think she's pushing the eco-socialism part of the platform, because that was actually what was adopted at the Houston convention this last summer, the Green Party convention. All the delegates that showed up, they voted, they adopted the term eco-socialism to replace ecological wisdom, because this is a global atmospheric commons that we're dealing with. We have people that are living on this planet that should have access to clean water, clean food, and not being subjected to living in these environments that are toxic. Again, addressing the fundamental causes of climate change. I don't think she's pushing that as much, and I don't think she's pushing the fact that we need a workers' party. I don't, when I go to these rallies, you know, I just went to the rally in Berkeley. She was unfortunate under the weather. She came down with pneumonia in Texas a couple days before. She missed the rally in San Diego. She missed UC Davis. But we worked hard to get her here. So everyone on the ticket came. Baraka came here, her campaign manager, a lot of her other supporting staff. But I heard, I think workers, I think it was mentioned one time, Caesar. I think that's where we have to take this party. And I think that looking at left politics, you know, we have Peace and Freedom Party, we have Socialist Alternative, we have a lot of people on the left. I think we need to be reaching out to trade unions. We have an all-time low as far as private unions. Public sector unions are still good numbers, but we have low union membership. People have lost confidence in a lot of union leadership because it seems like at times they're blindly endorsing blue candidates without looking at their voting records. Concessions seem to be the game now. So standing up for working people, fighting for their rights, too much of our leadership is just giving away too much, I think. And again, these are my opinions. I was a union delegate for the National Treasury Employees Union. But again, I think if she was pushing more of a workers' party and more pushing more of the eco-socialism, as well as, let's be honest, I mean, even if she is elected, there's no party structure to let her govern effectively. The Green Party has failed as an entity to build a reliable and serious party. And I think that's where we need to go after this election. We need to capitalize on this popularity. If we can get a 5% vote or a 5% of the votes cast, then we will get federal funding. We'll actually get ballot access in all 50 states. So this vote, like I said, for me, is more about building a party. It's not about blindly endorsing a candidate, but it's about playing the political cards that I have, that I'm in control of, and not just giving up. So I could choose not to vote, or I could just say I'll go with the lesser of the evil this time, but I'm done with that. I'm just saying, this is about building a party for the future.
Man, you brought up a lot of excellent points, and I know the listeners are going to really get a lot out of what you said. I got a lot out of what you said. Shit. I mean, you had more questions about Jill Stein than I did, but you make a good case for ballot access for a third party, because let's face it, the blues and the reds, they're more part of the same system than they ever were. I mean, there's almost barely any difference. So I really appreciate all the points that you brought up. Is there anything else in this election, maybe a proposition or a measure or another candidate that you feel really strongly about?
Down ballot stuff I'm still looking at. I've recently had to relocate to Contra Costa County. I was registered here in Alameda County, but you know how it is, struggling students up here, and you know, ran into a little problems with the Alameda Police Department, but that's another story. But I did like to add something. I would like to add something. You mentioned that the red and the blues, you know, the red and the blues, they seem like they're more alike nowadays than ever. They're kind of working. So when people talk about this bipartisan consensus, I mean, well, let's face it. Bipartisan consensus for economic reasons that are benefiting corporate interests, they're on the same page when it comes to that. And the fact that if you look at the finger pointing and the back and forth, the way they go at each other's throat. And I mean, these debates aren't even debates. These are just name calling contests. I mean, I've seen high school debates for class president that had more substance than the stuff that's on TV. However, entertainment, it's good entertainment, it's shock value. But at the same time, let's be serious about this. Let's look at 1960s. A high school graduate in America could go out, could get a job at a good factory that paid him a good wage. He could save up. He could have retirement. He could buy a home, a car, put food on the table, put his kids through school, have money left over to actually go out and spend on vacations. And slowly, since the 1960s until now, we've seen an erosion of that. The 70s, women had to enter the workforce. I'm all for equality. But still, women are making 77 cents on the dollar compared to men. But the fact that the next generation that came behind that in the 80s, we had the deindustrialization of America in the late 70s. We had Ronald Reagan, Reaganomics. We had more defense spending. We completely shifted away from social programs and social justice, and we just high speed into this new neoliberalism. And every generation has to deal with the ramifications of that. And then NAFTA coming in. So now you have people that aren't saving, people that are struggling to survive. They are not putting money into retirement pensions. They have children. They have college graduate children living at home helping pay bills. So both parties have to share the responsibility or the blame for that, because administrations have come and gone from both parties. Congress has switched hands a couple of times, and this is still happening. So again, blue and red, they're moving the same direction. So it's time for somebody to put the anchor down, the Green Party, and say, we need to move back left, and we need to move back to things like the New Deal. And that's why Jill Stein's proposing the Green New Deal.
Make some very, very valid points, and I feel exactly what you're talking about. And I really, really want to thank you for taking time out of your day. I know you're a busy guy. Thank you for contributing all those excellent points on the Educated Guest podcast. We're talking about where have all the Bernie Sanders supporters gone. Well, Jason's gone to Jill Stein, and he makes a really, really good case for it. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you, Caesar. I really appreciate it, and good luck on this podcast.
All right, so there you have it. Where have all the Bernie supporters gone? Election day is almost here. If you're like me, you're glad this shit is almost over. So we just had to answer the question, where have all the Bernie Sanders supporters gone? Hey, Bernie, I thought you did it, man. I thought you pulled the party towards your direction, but it just doesn't look like it. They fake left and they went right. Have they said anything about the pipeline? Nah. Are the corporations still the biggest interest in the land? Yeah. Are they going to be after the election? Oh, yeah. But I had to do the episode. Thank you for listening. Episode 8, Educated Guest Podcast. I'm your man, Zarf. Hit me on the Twitters. Peace out.